I am Bamps, and I am your storyteller, and I am joined by my wonderful cast.
I'm Jupiter, and I play Missy, the forever teen misunderstood emo Malkavian.
Hi, I'm Oz. I play Arthur Subchak, the Nosferatu.
I'm Tom, and I play Jimmy, the best Toreador from the 80s.
And hi, I'm Super Cookie. I am playing Coco.
Our scene opens up on a rainy night as cars are going up and down the streets here in Springfield. And we find Art driving through the city. Art, where are you headed? What are you driving? What's your mood?
Are we flashbacky or flash forwardy?
I imagine this as setting the scene for Art to then flashback from, and then we'll cut back to this when it's, you know, when it's that time in a movie or TV show where the character is driving and they think back on something they did.
Okay, perfect. Art is in a brand new Lincoln MKZ, so current year MKZ. He had his people pick it up from the lot maybe 2 days ago. It's on a shakedown cruise after he went through it as per usual. Its windows are tinted like limo black, even in the front, as much as humanly possible or even unhumanly possible. It doesn't really matter because they own the police by this time, so nobody's really going to bother them. And he's feeling unsettled as he takes the longest route possible for him to go downtown to the Princess Tower, as he has been summoned. And after the number of revelations he's received regarding the prince and what she's been doing with the city, and kind of reconciling that with how things have generally been going for the Kindred in Springfield, he's just like, what am I doing? What am I going to do about this? Is this the time? And so he's using the drive as a form of meditation to find his center. He's dressed in a black suit. Once again, his shirt is Soviet red and he's wearing a yellow tie. So he's gone full Eastern Bloc here, or at least some cartoonish rendition of it. And he is actually going to Blush of Life.
He wants to enjoy his cigarettes?
He's going to enjoy his cigarettes, yes. And there is also another reason why. I'll get to that in a moment.
Sure. If you guys want to reset your willpower and hunger before...
Sure. So he's given this a lot of thought, and knowing what he knows about the prince, knowing what he knows in general, he has devised a clever way of, we'll call it, taking you with me. And so he has wired a heartbeat sensor to a package of incendiary explosives.
Clever girl.
So if his heart stops and he hasn't disarmed it, then they'll go off. And he's got the normal suicide bomb clicker, of course, but he knows that if he gets dominated, that's the one they'll show. And it's like, okay, well, you have to release that. So he can't set it off that way, but if he gets staked and his heart stops, then the whole thing goes off and he will be guilty of essentially committing patricide a third time. And I think it's three strikes, you're out at that point. But he's got that insurance policy and it's giving him a little bit of peace, but not a lot. And as he's driving along, he's flashing back to the last time that he got called to the tower. And I think that would have been not too long after Terrence was installed as Baron of Paradise.
That sounds about correct. Shortly after the demise of Jimmy, you know, may his reign be forever remembered or something like that.
Sure. I think by this time, like even like, you know, a few scant months after Jimmy had passed on, or had understood to have passed on, there was really like nobody really gave a shit. Everybody else who was attached to him has died before him. His sister barely remembers that he was around. To her, he's off in Santa Monica busking on the sidewalk.
Chasing his dream, thank you very much.
Yes, chasing his dream is what we agreed upon. And that Prince Phillips called upon the barony to explain why this had changed, naturally it fell to him. And at that time, he was driving the Cayenne. He still had, he had a charcoal gray suit at that time. And he was still perturbed, I guess, but not really. He was still trying to wrap his brain around everything that he'd found in the basement. And so when Prince Phillips wanted an explanation of that time, Art had gathered everybody else and said that he was going to take care of it, go and do their thing, and if he didn't come back, then carry on. But he was going to handle this himself.
And as Art is thinking back to this, we see the windshield wipers come up, moving the light rain that's happening. And then as they come back down, the scene opens up on a darkened warehouse. One that would be somewhat familiar to the last time that the Coterie, or more specifically Art, had a clandestine meeting with the prince and some of the security of the city. This is not the kind of conversation that you have at Elysium. This is the kind of conversation that is held in private in case, well, in case.
In case, indeed.
This warehouse is mostly empty. The things that are being stored in here are in their big boxes, and they are all pushed to the side so that so forklifts, hand trucks, and other equipment that is designed for moving big boxes and items that are here in storage can easily navigate the central area, including the nice sedan that is parked in here that the prince has gotten out of with a handful, looks like two security folks, but who really knows if that is the only security that she has here. She is sat in a folding chair at this table with a couple of papers, little notebook in front of her. As Art arrives at this ominous meeting of who knows what is going to happen.
So as Art pulls up in the Cayenne, he will park on the opposite side of the table from where the prince is. So the prince, her car, her people are on the south side, we'll say. He parks on the north side, and he pulls around so the passenger side is facing Prince Phillips. He'll get out of the driver's side and cross around the back of the car. And as he, you know, steps towards this table, he'll reach into his pocket to remove the car keys, and he will hit the lock function on it twice, so it the lights flash and it blinks, and then he puts it back in the pocket. In the car, that is the signal for the pinhole camera that is in the keyhole of the passenger door to start recording for posterity, we'll say, because Art has no idea what this is about or how things are going to pan out. So he may as well have a last will and testament of his whereabouts this night. And then he will sit down at the table across from the prince.
The prince indicates the seat in front of her for you to sit. She is not Blush of Life. She has a nice fancy pen there with her notebook. And presuming you sit, she'll ask, I trust you have knowledge of why you are here tonight.
Art will place his hands on the table, and he is not at this point Blush of Life either.
Mm-hmm. For this is in the past.
For this is in the past. He strongly considered it because he does have that faint smell of tobacco on him. But of course, he hasn't enjoyed a cigarette yet. He does not inhale. He's just deathly still for probably a good 10-second breath. Yes, my prince, I believe I do. It has been a tumultuous set of months. These past nights, it is one of those seasons, one of those weeks in which years happen, so to speak.
She sits forward a little bit, takes the notebook, flips it open, and quickly comes to the end of where things had been written in it. Goes back about half a page and runs her finger down it, and comes to the date where Baron Walter had been reported as no longer in a position of power.
And then Bert she will scan that book as she goes back across it, goes back to that date, and he's just kind of trying to catalog all the little events that she's written down, but his mind isn't in it, so I'm not going to bother rolling what's an awareness on it.
Sure. If there's a time later on where you want to try and retroactively remember something you may have seen in that, we can try rolling then.
Yes, I would rather do a memory roll later after he's calmed down.
And then she flips from there to the next page over, which is blank because that's the stuff that's upcoming. But there's little things like Jimmy's ascent to power. I don't know if there's anything else meaningful that would have happened there. Besides like the hunter stuff.
Right. It would have been Sabbat. Walter disappears. Jimmy ascends. Jimmy gets in trouble with Donovan.
Hunters.
And then Sheriff authorizes official raid on Barony to make whole a member of the city, and then Jimmy disappears. Hunters neutralized. Jimmy disappears. So it's been 7 months worth of content within like four sentences.
There is an additional note in there, and that is the opening date of the vault, the club that is attached to the mall. I don't think there'd be anything else that would be in this book that is super relevant, like meaningful events. She dramatically flips from one side to the other side and then back, and then looks up at you. It's been a very short time for a lot of things to have happened that are very impactful.
Yes, it would seem so. Bert is very happy to let the silence draw out. He's in anti-interrogation mode now. He's learned how to resist interrogations. He is not going to fill the silence as much as his player wants to. He's going to keep quiet until asked a question.
That's fair. She will close the book, slide it off to the side, but keeping it very much within her arm's reach. And she'll just look at you for a second, letting the silence linger. Does Art make eye contact with her, knowing what he knows about kindred powers, or does he try to avoid that?
He's going to avoid that.
Okay. She does not seek your eyes, just kind of keeps that same stare for a few moments. I trust that I know your answer to this, but is there any information you would like to volunteer before, well, before uncomfortable things become the topic of conversation?
Only that I find it incredible that in the span of a calendar year, so much chaos is centered upon the Barony of Paradise, and it is not of the Kindred's doing.
Two barons in 7 months have gone missing, presumed dead, in a time of relative peace across the city, a time of peace that has been persistent since I claimed Prax. What is it you think I should do about this?
Art will let the silence draw out as if he's formulating a reply. In truth, he's already got the reply. He's just working up the nerve to say it. And finally, after that moment, he will say, "It would be unwise of me to presume your actions, however. I believe the matter has already been resolved. Things are well in hand. We have placed somebody in a position that should be acceptable for everyone with interests regarding Paradise." And at that, he'll meet her eyes, putting emphasis on interests.
Sounds like a role is needed, because I imagine you don't really care too much about what it is you're saying. You're gauging her response.
Correct. Going to be a wits and insight on my end, I wager.
Yeah. Do you think that you have any relevant specialties that would apply? Or things that...
No. No. In this case, the only specialty even remotely close would be missing persons, but that's investigation, and also he knows where all of those missing persons are.
I suppose that is fair.
I have 2 successes on 6 dice. One's a 10. I had hopes, but alas.
I mean, you do have willpower.
Willpower. I do. So I will use willpower to reroll the 3 for a 3rd success. So 3 total.
And she would have... You can see very clearly that she is thinking that, and that she is not, she's not letting the silence do the talking for her with some of this interrogation techniques. When she does speak, she reaches into a bag that is down next to her. Not quite a, not probably more of like a purse, like a small, not clutch size, but like the next size up. And she pulls out the binding of a book that looks very familiar to you. It's just the cover. It's the leather journal that you guys got from, that you had handed over from back in the day that you had doctored, found in the painting, etc. The leather cover and binding of the journal. All of its pages are gone. So it's just the flap. She puts it down on the table and opens it up so that you can see that it is empty. "Some time ago, you brought this to my attention and attempted to play word games with me that the information inside of here was the only copy of that information. That the things that could be discovered in here would not be discovered by other people. And I let you have that with the understanding that you should seek out any other copies and this information and make sure that it is also similarly to be destroyed. I would very much like for you to tell me the truth as to how that project has been going."
Art, knowing now what he knows, will look back at the prince and say, "It has not gone anywhere, if I am to be speaking honestly, which I am. In the past 7 months, as you have surmised, we have lost 2 barons and installed a 3rd, dealt with a hunter threat, and, to my great shame, this entire... The request that you have made has slipped my mind. I apologize. I had many other things going on. As I am certain you know now, when an information reaches the Nosferatu, it stays with the Nosferatu. Can I expend great political power in order to remove that? Yes, I can make that attempt. I cannot make a promise that it will disappear. In this day and age of digital wonder, nothing is truly gone. But if I may ask, does this matter in the greater scheme of things? You are powerful, Eventru. You are this representative of the Camarilla in the city. You broker a period of peace in the Northeast that has not been seen in a generation. Our generation, if I may be so bold. And anything that was in that book holds no power over you.
Clarifying questions.
Yes.
We know that Art has been actually busy with all of that stuff and all of the other things that he has gotten up to. Mm-hmm. Had he made any actual attempts or intended to attempt to keep this promise over the 7-ish months?
As Art's player, I'd forgotten about it entirely. As Art, Art's forgotten about it entirely. Like, he made the play. It's like, haha, I have this secret. And in the end, the secret's worthless. But, you know, he is about to say, it's like, if you still want this to be done, yeah, sure, I'll knock it out tonight. I can call in some favors, I'll owe some favors, whatever. You know, that chief being, you know, Abishai, who's she's already got hooks into through Amanda. So she'll know through other sources that he's made the attempt.
Okay. And I want to make sure that your statement about information getting into the Nosferatu means that it has been shared throughout the Nosferatu, or if he's just meaning himself.
He would not want that shared with the network, and I think that's something that Abishai understands. But what Art is saying is that both him and Abishai know. Okay. And what Abishai has done with that information, Art's not privy to, because they have not been speaking for several months since Abishai has been trying to send Chunky Butt into his territory.
Damn Chunky Butt.
I know.
How dare somebody try to spy on your territory while you spy on everybody else's?
Exactly. The prince will know, though, or I'm certain that she does, is that Art has a meeting pending with Abishai already. The contents of that meeting have not yet been disseminated, because it's not something Art's been able to talk about yet. So, yeah. If this needs to be slid in there, yeah, no problem.
Okay. I mean, like, you don't need to do, like, a subterfuge roll or anything like that, because you're telling the truth.
Right.
When you mention things like this secret holds no power over you, the part about, like, oh, you're a powerful Ventru, Camarilla, Prince, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, this starts to sound like a political ass-kissing that tends to happen in these kinds of moments. But when you mentioned about at this point, what power could this secret actually hold over you, you can tell that that part is something that she's like, nah, he might have a point with that. Something in that idea does resonate with her. She will fold the journal closed, push it off to the side. And then she will ask you, did you break the traditions with Baron Walter or Baron James?
Art's going to think about that for a second, mostly because his player is looking at the overview of the traditions, like,
There's a lot of technicalities in them.
There is, and okay. So, Art is going to, at this point, like, visibly inhale and exhale. He's going to, actually sigh, even though he's not Blush of Life. No. Baron Walton attacked a guest that was invited into his domain. He did so without warning. He did so without justification. I staked him to calm him down, and the stake that I was given trapped. It was not what I was led to believe it was. He fled, and then he met the final death, far away from any other kindred. Baron Walter, similarly, fell upon a member of the coterie, Baron Jimmy, to be specific. And we attempted to stake him as well, just to put them in the torpor, to calm them down. But as you know, Tisabot were around, and when we returned to his apartment, Baron Walter was no more. Not even his ash remained.
Cool. Guess what I'm gonna need?
You are going to need me to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to have experience to actually, like, increase this, but...
How much do you have right now?
Ha! 1.
I mean, you did just buy a whole shitload of stuff. I will remind you that your willpower is refreshed, and you have the ability to rouse for extra dice.
Right. So, let me cancel this. So, I'm going to... just going to put him at hunger 2...
The hunger part we won't worry about at the moment.
Yeah, I'm doing it for my own bookkeeping here. So he's going to do subterfuge and manipulation. And he's going to add 2 to that. He's going to start with 3. And he can only reroll 1 of those. But we're going to do it. So he currently has 3 on 5 dice. He has 110. He's gotten a crit. It's a messy crit, and I'm rolling with it.
So good.
So that's going to give him 6 on 6 dice. Messy crit.
Art did get that messy critical with 6 successes, and then in my GM roll, the prince got 4 successes and a critical. In this case, Art is the acting vampire. Acting vampires get the...
benefit of the doubt.
Win ties.
Yeah.
So I think what we'll do is we'll have the messy part of that hit Art on the second conversation as he is remembering what happened and some of those emotions come back.
Okay.
But you tell her all of these things, and as you finish, she lets the silence sit for a minute, pulls back over the book of events in the book of events that happened in your domain, pulls it back open to those last pages, grabs a pen, and next to the death of Baron Walter writes, killed by Sabbat, active in the city while defenseless, and puts a little period on that, and then flips back to the part where Jimmy's death is, and writes in there, broke, I don't know, I find out what tradition is. I think it's the 4th.
Let's see here.
Hospitality is the one I'm looking for.
5th.
Yeah. Broke the 5th tradition and just leaves it at that. Closes the book and pulls it to the side.
I would also say the 6th, because he attempted to destroy another kindred.
Yeah, but it's like if there were severe repercussions for every fist fight that breaks out.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, in this case, like, he was going to kill Terrence.
Yeah. But that's that is difficult for in this situation to be proven or stated. Because, like, they can't ask Jimmy what was happening with that, but he for sure broke, if not the letter of hospitality, the certainly the intention of hospitality.
Yes. Okay.
So she takes your explanation for events, closes up the book, and pushes it off to the side. Is there anything you want to do in this situation before I cut away from you? Like further questions, further comments, further really anything?
I think Art will let that go for a bit. And I think once the prince releases him to go back, as he's getting up, he will hesitate and he will say, I realize that I have stepped beyond what was expected of me as kindred and perhaps as a member of a barony and perhaps even as a member of the Camarilla in order to keep order and safety within this city, within your entire domain. Should the need arise again, please do not hesitate to call. And then he will get up and leave.
Cool. For clarity, there was more conversation and more off-screen stuff. Like, you guys continue to talk for a little while. So if there's something in the future you want to come back to.
If we're cutting away from me, then it gives me time to think about it.
Yeah. Cool. So as Art makes his proclamation of loyalty and gets up, as he turns, the wipers come back up. As they come back down, we find ourselves with Coco on this damp evening. Coco, where are you headed to? Where are you going to meet up with your... I don't even know what to call him at this point.
My older handsome cop man.
Your hookup, maybe?
I mean, just because I let him on does not mean that I'm going to hook up with him.
I guess that's fair. Yeah, where are you guys?
Yeah, so he's kind of, I think he's a weirdo, honestly, just like a little bit slightly a weirdo. But he told me of some like diner that was by the car wash. So we're going to meet at the diner.
Cool. Is this a familiar diner to you?
I've kind of been past it, but I've never been in here because it kind of like smells. It is always like, even when I was alive, like it's in a sketchy part of town and it's always smelled like sour grease outside. Like not even good diner food. It's disgusting.
That's truly a place of horror.
Yeah. So like I've never been in there. And like, honestly, all the light, like you can, if you're on the street, you can see like half of the lights are out of the place. Like, I think that, I don't know. I think it's just, I can imagine everything sticky. So he wanted to meet here. So this is where I'm just trying to like, I think he's got like a family or something. I don't know who he's hiding from. Other cops. I don't know what the deal is. Like why he wouldn't just want to be seen with me.
Have you blush of life for this evening?
Totally, because the last time that I met him, like, you know, I didn't even touch him, and I have a feeling he's at least, you know how guys do that weird thing with like your hand, they're all like gross, they just kind of like hold it too long. He doesn't get a hug yet. Ew.
He's not into the full-on bodily contact. Cool. So as you call upon the power of your blood, warmth returns to your body. You begin to breathe, your heart begins to beat, and the air and environment around you is just a little bit chillier now that, you know, your skin actually cares about what the environment's like outside. How cute are you dressed for this?
So, like, I'm really trying. What month is this?
Who the fuck knows? This is kind of in winter time. Let's go for autumn time. So when it starts to get, you know, wet and dreary.
So I am total basic right now. I have my like boots with the fur and my like leggings on, but they're not just plain black leggings. No, they're the kind that has like the mesh stuff on the sides. They just look extra cute. And this like big chunky sweater that's all like just sneakily off the shoulder, just like a little shoulder wink. You know what I mean? It's just so cute.
Oh man, every time we do this, I just feel awful. awful in the good way. Cool. He is waiting outside for you. He's not here in a cop car or uniform or anything like that. He is wearing a medium weight leatherish jacket, some nice pants that are damp around the cuffs down by the feet, boots. He does have an umbrella, and it is smoking a cigarette as he's waiting outside, checking a watch just to kind of keep track of time, because you are, I don't know, are you on time?
Okay, like, I am always fashionably late. You know this, okay? Like, I don't know why we have to go through this every time. I'm like a couple, it's not even like that late. It's not even like 15 minutes. It's more like 13. Okay, just like right under there. And it's not really my fault. It's the car that Art sent, probably. Like, they were probably late.
Art, are your cars ever late?
If my cars are late, they're late once.
Okay. Just, you know, important to keep in world continuity.
Okay, so truth is, yeah, the car was on time. I am late. Okay, like, shh.
Disembodied voice that comes from nowhere.
Right, you should know better.
Yeah. So he's there waiting for you, and it's he's excited to see you in the way that he straightens up. He throws the cigarette down on the ground and stamps it out real quick. Not that he needs to in the wet rainy ground. But he waves and says, "Did you give him your actual name or anything like that?"
Yeah, I told him my name was Cookie. I mean, Coco. Yeah, I told him my name was Coco.
Okay. Yeah, so he closes into umbrella range with you, and he says, "Coco, I'm so glad you decided to finally take me up on this invite." He goes for like a one-armed hug since his other hand is holding the umbrella.
I kind of like turn my body so that he can kind of give me like the atta girl, you know what I mean? But like, I still don't want any of my, like, he can touch like my shoulder and that's about it. Hey, yeah, I've actually never been here before. And I really hope that he can see the like, ew, this place is gross all over my face.
Let me see how oblivious this guy is, because, you know.
Mortals don't get to roll against vampires.
When they're using special powers, he's just inciting to be like, oh no, are you making it like very obvious that this is not something you're down?
Yeah, because like, I mean, he's a cop, so he should have like cop money, which means like not sticky diners that only have half light bulbs on.
Fair. He stumbles over his words for a moment and says, well, are you ready to go? There's, oh no, did you think that, no, this place just is there's a precinct down the road. So I was just getting done work. And, you know, after I got changed, figured this is a public place that we can meet up in so that it's, you know, safe and,
oh my God, safe? Stop. Like, I'm safe as long as I'm with you. Like, I know that. That's the whole reason I came here. But, like, I feel safe around you. Like, you're an officer of the law. And she just kind of bats her eyes at him.
He does seem to grow, like, a good half inch to an inch as you're like, you're an officer of the law. He gets that
hero vibes, just blows himself up.
Yeah, he just inflates just a little bit. Do you get in the car with him? Because he's intending to drive you to a secondary location. This is clearly way better than this crappy diner.
Well, I mean, if he opens the door for me, certainly I'll get in. Like, I am worthy. Know your worth, ladies.
Right. Cool. So he will open the door, allow you inside, and he will quickly come back around to the driver's side and start driving off into the night. He begins to drive off towards the west of the city. And is there any small talk you want to make with him at this point?
I mean, like, just the usual, like, how is work? Oh my God, that's interesting. Did you guys catch the guy? And that kind of stuff.
Okay. You will notice that he does send a couple of text messages as you guys are traveling. Not, like, while driving. That would be unsafe and uncool. But he does send a handful of texts.
So, like, are you talking about me? Who are you texting?
Oh, this is just a buddy of mine from work. It was just finishing up a work thing before I left. It's nothing. You can probably tell that he is not telling the truth, but not in a malicious way. I don't know if that makes
sense.
Okay.
Well, like, I thought I told you that we were please don't let it be about me, because, like, we're supposed to keep this secret. Like, I just got out of trouble with, like, my stepdad and stuff. So, like, I'm supposed to be being, like, not supposed to be dating. I'm supposed to be focusing on, like, my future or whatever. So, like, if it gets back to, like, you know, Daddy Art, then, like, I don't want to get in trouble. I thought we were sneaking around. I thought that was part of the fun, playing cops and robbers.
He gives a little chuckle at the idea of cops and robbers, given that he is indeed a cop. He lets the intrusive thought win for a second and is like, are you trying to get handcuffed? And then quickly double backs and blushes. Is like, oh God, I just said that. I'm an idiot. And he's like, no.
Coco's just like, oh my God, stop. And just smacks him in his shoulder. Come on. Like, you can chill, silly. Like, let's see how our first date goes.
While you guys do this little flirting, this little small talk conversation, you will arrive at your destination, which happens to be the sports stadium that is in the city that we have not even touched on existing. And I will invite either one of you to name the hockey team that plays in Springfield. If you've got absolutely nothing.
I'm trying to think of what Maine would be known for.
The Springfield Lobsters.
Right. I think maybe the Springfield Crabs would not be what we want, but would work. Let's go with the Springfield Kingfishers.
Kingfisher. Is that like a... Why am I saying it's like a marlin?
The Kingfisher is... It's a bird.
Any specific reason, or they just happen to be from that area?
It just sounded really good in the moment, because of, like, crab, fish, Kingfisher.
Cool, we got there. Coco, do you have a team for them to play against?
The Bulldogs. It's always the Bulldogs, isn't it?
The Bulls. Yeah, so he pulls up out into the stadium to the parking lot. He pays for parking and looks to you to see how excited you are about the prospect of going to a hockey game.
More nervous, I think. Then excited, because there's so many people here. And since, you know, the
the big change. I haven't really been around this many people all at once. Like, that place is huge. The Kingfishers Stadium, like, oh, okay. Just, and I'm not on drugs anymore, like, really. So anxiety through the roof.
He takes your anxiety for excitement and gives a big smile and gets out of the car to escort you inside. Is there anything you want to do while you're at the hockey game? First of all, there's a lot of mortals here, and man, do some of them smell delicious. There's an air of just excitement and adrenaline and the blood pumping. The music is like loud in any of the intermission periods, and the announcers get doing this thing. Everybody around you screaming and hollering. Fights break out. You can
and
smell
like,
blood when somebody gets
nobody's looking at me either, which is kind of crazy. Like, there's all these people and I just feel like I should be being stared at, but nobody's staring at me. It's like I'm not even here, right?
Three successes on hacking the Jumbotron to put the kiss cam on her when it comes up.
Terrible.
Is Art... Well, Art's ocupado this evening, because this was the evening that he was driving to the meeting that he flashed back to.
Oh, that's true. I think that
it's an appropriate role to see whether or not Art catches the kiss cam on a replay of the game.
Perhaps, but he also, because, yeah, I'm going to do it. So Raven owes him a boon still, right? From way back in the day.
Oh,
he's going to call it in. So Raven is going to be the one who does it.
Well, awesome. Cool. So during, I guess they mostly do that during like downtime and stuff of the game.
Probably maybe like the second intermission situation. So by this time, Coco has had the chance to kind of like chill, get into the vibe, pretend to drink a beer. Can she like maybe accidentally try and sneak a sneak off of a drunk lady in the ladies' room?
Yeah. Like you can absolutely drink a beer and then something like 45 minutes later have to get up to go to the bathroom to vomit it up because, you know, it's not blood.
Yeah, but like, can she do a little bite of that drunk lady in the bathroom after she like bit the beer? Just, you know, she's got to get a little drunk. Like, this is supposed to be a date.
Yeah, you can get a little drunk. I won't even make you roll, given this. There are so many mortals around, and it's easy enough to see a group of people. A group of people get a little bit too inebriated, and then. With so many people, like you watch them get up to go, presumably to the bathroom, you just follow them. Nobody's going to pay attention. There's so many people. So what if, you know, three or four of them go into the bathroom at the same time and don't come out at the same time?
I mean, that happens like all the time. So yeah.
Yeah.
Coco gets like a little saucy pants and she's really having a good time. And then.
And then. You can. That feeling of having nobody pay any attention to you, any special attention, goes away as you notice a lot of people in your immediate area turn to look at you, feel that moment of confusion, and then one of them points up at the Jumbotron where you and your date, Tyler, are in this little heart that's got a bunch of little heart emojis going up around it. And it says, Kiss Cam.
I need to roll for composure to see if she wigs and runs or holds it together and just smooches them.
Sure, go right ahead. Roll whatever you feel is appropriate here.
Absolutely worth a minor boon.
So I did performance and composure because, like, I don't really like this guy, you guys. It's an act.
That's fair. That makes complete sense. So with two successes, do you act and then kiss him?
That would be the acting. Would that it's like a great date and I'm really into him and I kiss him. So
cool.
do I win or do I run away?
I mean, this isn't like a super hard thing. Like, he's not unattractive. He's not like immediately, no, I would never date this person. You're just figuring out your vampire-ness.
And she's a little bit fired up, maybe.
Yeah. The adrenaline's going, well, the sort of adrenaline's going, considering vampire. At what point do you have the idea that you could make this guy into a ghoul to replace Jade?
Like, as soon as I met him, I knew that I wanted to just use him. And now that Jade has, like, left my life, I'm gonna need somebody to just, like, do everything for me. So who better than this cop who's, like, so into me?
I mean, how could he not be into you? You're pretty awesome.
Oh my god, thank you.
So yeah, I feel like this is a prime opportunity about it, because here's my idea. Like, you could totally do the blush, give him a smile, and then nick your tongue on your fangs, and then give him a big old slobbery kiss and stick some of your Vitae in his mouth in that direction for him to drink.
Oh my god, I'm totally going to do that, because then he'll sit back and look at me just with stars in his eyes. Ugh, that sounds like genius work.
Yeah, so you guys get into some real sloppy schmooching, and you slip him a little Vitae, and everybody around you erupts into cheers and claps, because, you know, clearly these two young people are really into each other. And cam a show, and the kiss cam will cut away from you to find somebody else to harass in the audience until the intermission ends. It is the 3rd of January, 2024. I would say Happy New Year, but that is yet to be determined.
It isn't in Japan.
Oh, too soon.
You're right.
It's like one of to myself, well, statistically, most accidents happen within like a mile of your house, 5 blocks from your house, because that's where you're spending most of your time. So your day can be going fine until you're driving home, and then all of a sudden, you know, a school bus hits you or something else crazy. So it's like you never really know how your day is doing. Not until, you know, the next day.
Absolutely.
Like, hey, yesterday was a good day. But that's not why we're here tonight.
No, it is not.
No, it very much is not. Cool. Our scene opens up and... Fuck. What would they be called? They're not like moving vehicles. They're like stocking. I don't fucking know.
Forklifts. Hand trucks.
Hand trucks is a good one.
Step ladders.
That is where Art finds the prince when he arrives to this meeting of, I can only imagine, I can't work. See, this is what happens when we haven't played in a while, is the words begin to fail.
Uh-huh.
You know, for somebody who is so worried about getting back in the Art's headspace, you seem to have found it pretty quickly.
Yes. This headspace is brought to you by Urban Chestnut Brewing Company, Zwickel Bavarian Style Lager.
Nice. Did you break the traditions with either Baron Walter or Baron... Fuck, what was Jimmy's last name again?
Baron Walter or Baron Walton.
Fuck, that is a terrible idea in planning. Why did we do that?
It's Tom's fault.
Oh, shit. Oh, double shit. Hold on. So I don't usually do this, but given the nature and the fact that we were going to be moving into another scene between these two characters, I kind of wanted the GM roll this. But I think that...
Technically, this was supposed to be happening in the present time, and instead you sprung it on me in the past.
Well, we were going to have this meeting about the Jimmy stuff, and then we were going to be having the conversation about the Bahari stuff, was my understanding.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's fine, but the... No, you're fine. It's good. Everything's fine.
Trying to think of a cheesy date place that he would take you at night in this... You know what? No. Perfect.
Melting pot. I guess the question would be, is he someone who has listened to his peers on the force of where to take somebody for a nice date night? Or is he someone who's looked at the local subreddits to see where the good date night places are?
So in the super secret project that I'm totally working on, an aspect of the city that has been ignored up to this point was something that I was reminded of. And do you guys want to take a quick break, or are you good to keep going?
It doesn't matter. It's up to you.
I'm good to keep going. Okay. Are you good to keep going?
It's just, I was looking at the time, and I was like, drinks or no drinks?
See, the secret is to have a drink at hand during the entire recording, which I have done.
Yeah, mine's almost empty.
Well, then let's take a break and you can go get refilled.
Okay, I'm gonna get rid of the boys.
This Vampire the Masquerade Chronicle is a non-official, fan-created work by the Without a Net podcast. Portions of the materials used in this actual play are the copyrights and trademarks of Paradox Interactive AB and are used with their permission. All rights are reserved. For any further information in those regards, or maybe upcoming releases, you can find them at worldofdarkness.com.